Right, we're going to look at the teachings. Let me adjust this a little bit. Teachings on the series about God's timing. It's important that we know God's timing. Extremely important. Extremely so. It makes a difference. Jesus talked about it when he said, when you see the signs and the seasons and all. Okay. Now, understanding the times and seasons is absolutely a key to your victory. Key to your victory. Last week we began the series, and we're talking about how the offices of the church put in place, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. Now, we're looking at understanding the kingdom, its power, government, grace, people, administration, culture, and glory. We talked about that last week. We talked about you are a force in God's kingdom. We talked about that. We talked about not only you are a force, you have to be a force. Be a force in God's kingdom, and you receive strength. He will have a people, God will have a people that is filled with strength, gain momentum, have a people that will have accurate moral reason and judgment. That's what type of people God wants. That's what type of people God is looking for. He'll have a people who have power to bind and loose. They'll be able to look at some things and it'll be valid or invalid. People of destiny. Don't you want to be a person of destiny? And be a people that has a moving, raging storm of righteousness and God's power. Okay, now, we're going to deal with the area of prophecy again. What is prophecy? It's seeing and embracing your future. Seeing and embracing your future. Now, somebody says, I don't even know what prophecy is. You know, I read Jeremiah, and I read Daniel, and I read Isaiah, and I read all these other passages, and I see these prophets in action. Well, let's look at what the definition of prophecy. Prophecy is speaking the heart and mind of God. Jesus has the spirit of prophecy. Bible says that. Prophecy is revealed by the Holy Spirit. In prophetic, you got to be careful between, this is important, between soulish ideas and the prophecies from the Lord. A lot of people confuse soulish ideas. They're soulish. All right? Prophecy is causing an individual or group to have understanding on how to accomplish the overall covenant plan of God. You see, here's what happens in the body of Christ. The body of Christ will get an idea, a program, a strategy. And there's nothing wrong with ideas, programs, and strategies. Then when I get these ideas, programs, and strategies, they implement them. And then they hope God is agreeing with them and it works. And a lot of times it'll work because it's God's leadership, and other times it won't work. So the best thing to do is get God's plan and implement that, not a program without the Lord and implement that. See, prophecy is the revelation may release wisdom and counsel into a situation. That's wisdom. Wisdom is the surest thing we want. It's the primary thing we must have. See, wisdom is valuable. It's a principal thing. See, sometimes God reveals knowledge that will occur at a time and place in the future. Now, we're not talking about fortune telling. We're not going down to Madam Mary and getting your palms read. We're not doing that here. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about biblical spiritual gifting. Now, I'm going to give you, a lot of people have trouble in division. The word divides the soul and spirit. There's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 that says, the word of God is living, a powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, what is that? What is that? All right? Let's divide that soul and spirit. All right? Spirit is a new creation from the Lord. Spirit of man. Right? The Spirit of God in us that wants fellowship in the Holy Spirit. Now, soul is open to temptation from the flesh. What soul? Soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Spirit is the born-again experience, the exchange of the old man, new man. Now we know God means what he says. And he says what he means. Now, we cannot escape the notice of God. Jamie did a great job on that last week when he talked about the God takes note of everything. Now, let's look at this verse of scripture, Hebrews 4:12. The word of God, okay, that's the word of God. Number one is living and powerful. So, what else is it? What else? And sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit. There it is. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, think of soul and spirit as we're one because it's us. You know, man has a soul, body, mind, right, emotions. He has a spirit and he lives in a body. The spirit's the most important thing than the soul and body. Now, notice this. The word of God is living and powerful. It's quick. Notice, it's living. It's powerful. It has double power. Double power, right? Just now look what it does. Here's the way things work. Now, there's a person sitting right now somewhere. Just make that person up. All right? Now, this person, here comes a thought. Here's how it works. It goes and passes through feeling, natural and spiritual. Right? Here comes a thought. Here it comes. Okay, I got a thought now. And that thought will pass through feeling, natural and spiritual. Wow, that makes me feel good to go and do that. That'd be a good thing to do. I need to go to the store now. That's a good thing. See, natural and spiritual, and it passes through. And it divides between spirit thoughts and soul thoughts, body, mind, and spirit. All the soul's thoughts are not evil or wrong. I just picked up a pen just now. That was a thought. I need to pick this pen up, so I'm holding a pen. Right, here it is. It's my marker I use for the song list that I have, that the top 50, I use different color markers for different days. So when I look at it, I know what I've done. All right? It's not wrong to do that. I could pick up a crayon, be the same thing, or a pencil. I make a check mark. People would make an X. See, there's no real problem with that. That's a soulless thing. Okay, let me get the thought good, check it, good, got it, all right. See, all the thoughts, mind, and emotions that make up the soul is not wrong. Everything is not wrong. You know, a thought is, I think I'm going to have a hamburger. That's not wrong. I think I'll take the hamburger and throw it at the guy sitting across the table from me. That's wrong. The hamburger itself, getting the hamburger is not wrong. Throwing it across the table is. And that's how it works. The feelings are natural and spiritual. And it divides the carnality. Throwing the hamburger across the room and hitting the guy across the room in McDonald's, that'd be carnal. That's more than wrong. Getting the hamburger at the counter is not. See, that's where it's divided, soul and spirit. See, it goes to the innermost parts of the person. Look what it says. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the real you. That's the real you. The thoughts and intents of the heart's really you. And out of there come dreams. I'm going to play a song that's next on the list. I give you my dreams. Ideas, concepts, feeling, intents, and intelligence. It comes right from there. Comes right from there. We got things bouncing everywhere here, all right? Now, when you understand that the Word of God, when you read the Word of God discerns, it quickens us, intentions, feelings, emotions. What's right, what's wrong, what is yes, what is no. Where the soul, mind, will, and emotions, operates on feelings. See, when you get saved, right? Listen to this, when you get saved, there's a exchange of the old man, new man. So in your spirit, the Lord comes in and he exchanges old man thinking to new man thinking. That's being born again. Now, what's not changed, and this is where people really get off kilter, is that your soul, body, mind, and spirit, emotions, the emotions, that has to be renewed, because I did a series about improper, incorrect thinking. The thinking is wrong. We have been programmed by the course of this world in our thinking, the way we think. That's why all this stuff going on is to change the thinking of people. That's how they think. And if you control their thinking, you can control them. Now, the spirit on the other side of the coin, when you accept Christ as Savior, he's exchanging your spirit, old man, into the new man, righteousness, holiness, rightness with God. The soul is the problem. The thinking is the problem. That's why I said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. That's the soul. That's the soul. Be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Versus the spirit, which has been transformed and renewed at conversion. So when you say, Lord, come into my heart, forgive me my sins, and the Lord cleanses you of your sins, he changes your spirit. Changes your spirit. Spirit's different. Spirit's different. It's called being born again, being converted, being saved. The problem is your mind. That's where we get in trouble. It's the thinking. thinking. And that's where the battle is. That's where the battle royal is. It's in the head. Now, prophecy is restorative because it ministers to us from the Lord personally, corporately, territorially, and generationally. There's dimensions of prophecy that ministers to us and strengthens us. Now, let's go to a passage of scripture in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Here's what it says. Jeremiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fall or fades, but the word of our God endures forever. See? So the grass, that's NIV, the grass, of course we know that. We know that the flowers fade. We know that too. But the word of God lasts forever. Now, also Psalm 119, verse 89. 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. Now, here's what we know, that the word of God endures forever. Period. Cannot be broken. Its power goes from generation to generation. Now, the deeds of the word can be shared as a testament from one generation to another. I can tell my grandchildren about what God has done for me. You can tell your grandchildren if you have any. My mom could and did told me about Jesus when I was young and how she became a Christian. I passed it on to my children. My children passed it on to my grandchildren. See, the deeds of the word can be shared perpetually. And it produces works, divine revelation and requirements that we believe will manifest. So my mom said to me, son, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that he can forgive you of your sins. What does that mean, Mom? Well, this is what it means. When I was young, I gave Jesus my heart. I gave him my heart. How'd you do that? I asked him to come into my life. What did he do? He forgave me of my sins. What happened then? He made me a child of God. Now, I've got that. I experience that. I do that. Pass it right on to my children. Hey, kids, here's what happened. They're passing it on to their children. And it produces works. Mom, my mother told me that was works. Saved by grace, not of works of yourself, but once you get saved, when you come to the Lord, or Mom would say, I want to talk to you about what God has for you, or what God did for you, or what God is going to do for you. What does that mean? And you pass it on. It produces works, divine revelation. You know, son, one time I was thinking, and I know the Lord spoke to me. Let me share that with you. See, and I said, okay, Mom, I'm gonna believe that Jesus will come into my life. That wonderful salvation came through the witness of my mama, and that divine revelation that Jesus saves came to me, and it manifested in my life. And it's synonymous with speech, command, promise, and prophecy. Speech, command, promise, and prophecy. And that's what the Word of God has. The Word of God has speech. Thus saith the Lord. It has command. Go into all the world. It has a promise. and has a prophecy. Every one of those four areas, speech, command, promise, prophecy, in the Word of God. Every one of those areas. And we embrace those areas. Now, what does the word, W-O-R-D, mean? Well, for one, it comes from a word which means dabar, which means matter of thing or body. Word became flesh. It means graphy. It sounds like graphite. It sounds like something graphic. It is. It's recorded. It's logos. Reason, discourse, speech, man's thought finds expression in the soul. See, you read the Word of God, you read it, it goes into your head first. It goes into your head. I'm reading this right now. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in the heaven. I read that. Thy faithfulness into all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. There you go. So I read that. Where does it go? It goes into my brain. It goes into my soul. What soul? Mind, will, and emotions. That's great. That's wonderful. But there's the rhema. All of a sudden you say, oh yeah. It enters into the heart. It becomes revelation. Forever, O Lord. Oh yeah. It's more than just thinking about it. Thy word is settled in. Wow, the word of God is settled in the heavens, and you get into your spirit. And there's a Zoe. What is spoken and considered produces life, spirit. Zoe. Live. You go to a what? Zoo. Where do you go to see at the zoo? Live animals, right? Zoe, zoo. So the word means a matter, thing, or body. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in the heavens. O Lord, that's your word is settled. It's settled in my life. Lord, it's recorded in your word. I believe it. Lord, you're going to drop it into my spirit, into my being. And Lord, that's rhema. And Lord, I know it's considered by you forever settled in the heavens. That's how it works. And that, when you understand that, you can see how timing is everything. Timing and wisdom gives you full understanding and makes you have victory in your life. It'll get you to become a very victorious person. Extremely so. You'll be victorious all the time. You won't get beat up all the time by the devil. Why? Because you know what God says and you know how it works. Absolutely, you know how the Word of God works. More tomorrow.